Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Rahul Mahajan. He's a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. Hi, Rahul.
Hi, Sonali.
A 7-year-old girl with bombs strapped to her body was killed in a market in the Yobe state of Nigeria yesterday. 5 others were also killed and 19 others injured in the suicide bombing, prompting fears once more of a rise in attacks by the militant group Boko Haram. Already, Nigeria's elections, slated to take place a few days ago, were postponed to early March because of instability. President Goodluck Jonathan, who's running for re-election, conceded that his government has once more underestimated Boko Haram's strength. The killing at the market was not the first time bombs had been strapped to young children. Since 2009, more than 10,000 people have been killed and 1 million Nigerians left homeless. Nigeria is home to major oil and gas operations owned by multinational corporations like Royal Dutch Shell. Well, Rahul, is Nigeria spiraling out of control?
Well, I think we shouldn't overstate it. I think it's somewhere between, say, on the one hand, Pakistan, which has significant areas of the country that it's not able to keep under control, but where there's still a very powerful central state that exerts a lot of control. And on the other hand, say, Libya or Somalia, where after the state's collapse, there's been really no creation of a new state. Nigeria has a big problem in the northeast that's unable to deal with. It's also potentially unable to deal with cross-border incursions of Boko Haram into other countries. So it is certainly faced with a severe crisis.
And U.S. and Iranian negotiators gathered in Geneva last night for a high-level meeting. Secretary of State John Kerry and Energy Secretary Ernest J. Moniz are meeting this morning with Iran's Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif and the Director of Iran's Atomic Energy Program, Mr. Ali Akbar Salehi. The two country energy representatives are for the first time part of U.S.-Iran negotiations. At stake is the lifting of economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for curbs on Iran's nuclear program. The U.S. has insisted for years that Iran has tried to secretly develop nuclear weapons, while Iran has maintained that it's only interested in peaceful energy negotiations. Negotiations under Iran's new leadership of Hassan Rouhani began last year and have already been extended twice. Israel has presented the strongest opposition to a warming of U.S.-Iran relations, claiming that Iran is a threat to Israel. Rahul, do you have any hope that this round of meetings might result in success?
I don't think it'll result in full resolution. I think, actually, Zarif said it best when he said the West, and in particular the United States, clings to the idea that it's the sanctions are necessary for political leverage over Iran to keep them negotiating. And until they abandon that, then of course they are not going to come up with any agreement that involves lifting the sanctions, which will mean that Iran remains unsatisfied. It's also, there's something a little bit hallucinatory about all of these negotiations, which, I mean, I must say that over the last year or two, they've gone fairly well in terms of reaching some kind of modus vivendi. But it's very funny that this is happening while the United States engaged in a massive act of cyber warfare against Iran, and where the United States at least believes, according to NSA documents, that Iran is engaged in cyber warfare attempts against the United States. So I think that background has to be kept in mind when you're thinking about potential success of these negotiations.
And finally, Al Jazeera has announced today that it has obtained a trove of classified intelligence documents from national spy agencies of several countries. Collaborating with The Guardian newspaper, Al Jazeera's investigative unit says it will begin publishing what it is calling the spy cables. The documents are from 2006 to 2014 and include files from South Africa's Secret Service and its dealings with agencies like the US CIA, Britain's MI6, and Israel's Mossad. Justifying their publication, Al Jazeera wrote, quote, "Intelligence agencies are overclassifying information and hiding behind an unnecessary veil of secrecy. This harms the ability of a democratic society to either consent to the activities of their intelligence agencies or provide adequate checks and balances to their powers." Rahul, the cables also contrast with those that Edward Snowden leaked to the press in that they focused on human intelligence rather than electronic intelligence. And of course, last night, the documentary Citizens 4 by Laura Poitras, based on Snowden's story, won the Best Documentary Award at the Academy Awards ceremony. Are media outlets, you think, more confident of publishing secret documents because of what Snowden did?
Well, Sonali, I think there's sort of a pendulum swing here. In the United States, you know, when the New York Times started publishing the Pentagon Papers, the government took it all the way to the Supreme Court before the right to publish these classified documents was actually firmly established. In the decades after that, I think U.S. media outlets felt pretty comfortable publishing these kinds of documents with them until sometime after 9/11, and especially during the first term of the Obama administration, when there was a real ramping up of use of the Espionage Act and attempts to get at not only leakers of secrets, but even journalists who wouldn't divulge their sources. So the attempt at sort of chilling that atmosphere and keeping, in particular, U.S. media outlets from publishing these sorts of things, that has, I think, been counteracted in part by a number of things. By, first of all, the fact that Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, people like this who have gotten documents out, get them out simultaneously to sources, media outlets in other countries, which are going to publish them anyway. So I think they've created a certain sort of penumbra of protection for U.S. media outlets. But in general, yes, I think that publishing these kinds of things is on the upswing again.
Rahul, thanks as always for joining us. We'll talk to you next week. Rahul Mahajan is a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. We'll be right back.